It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com. Welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And it's been a little bit. We had the Thanksgiving holiday to get through. I went on vacation. You know, just life shit. So, but now we're back. Gonna try and get this one out this week to you all, and hopefully one next week, just in time for Christmas. I don't know. We'll see. The next one could be a raging drunk fest, though, just based on how this coming weekend goes. And you know exactly why, Trisha. This week actually might be the new HW, as compared to the last one that we had for Black Panther. And less so about the number of people we're going to deal with, and more so about the number of show times we're going to have to run.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to disparage anybody. Let me put this disclaimer out there in case our corporate overlords are listening. Our views are our own personal opinions and do not reflect the values or opinions of our company. There. Now that I've said all that, we've got Avatar 2 opening this weekend. Everybody knows that it's coming. I've still got my little domestic gross bet, which I'm honestly not feeling super confident about anymore. I'm just not, but we'll see. But I've got that going with Chris from Dad and Rock. When your movie is so long that you have to have 10 screens showing it just to get enough show times in,
yeah,
that's where I've got a problem. So here's where we're coming from. We've got all weekend. School's not out yet for the holidays.
Correct.
Okay. We have to run late shows and early shows. And we tried to push back, not so much on the late show on like Friday, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
But Thursday, Sunday.
School nights.
And most of our staff is high school kids.
Yes, very much so. I mean, there's only a handful maybe that aren't school kids. And they don't close, they open. They work when school's in session. Because
right.
We need people to work when school's in session.
Exactly. I don't know if somewhere along the way, I don't know if it's necessarily our bosses, if it's the House of Mouse that's pushing it, that they don't give a shit about the kids' education. I still do. I just want to put that out there. This is me actually positioning myself for a political career later on. So, but realistically, like, you know, as a parent, if it was my kid, I wouldn't be super thrilled about the idea of them having to be there till damn near midnight.
Yeah.
Just because of one movie.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't. Is what it is. We're going to suck it up. We're going to deal with it. But like I said, I feel like this movie is going to be so long and such a slog that we have constant show times. I don't think when I did the show schedule this week,
there's no break.
There is no break. There's not. I tried to work in as best I could. I tried to put slower movies around some of the same show times because this is the only thing that's opening this weekend.
Yeah.
There is no counter programming.
Nope.
Which is almost unheard of. Because we've talked about that. Like when The Dark Knight released, you know, 14 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Mamma Mia opened the same weekend and did,
yes.
And did well. Didn't it? It wasn't coming close to the 100.
One of my favorite weekends because you got to play the which movie are they going to see game.
Yeah.
Now, we do that sometimes, not as much anymore.
Right.
But we used to all the time. You know, you're in box office, you're bored, you're stuck in this tiny little room at the front of the building, and all your coworkers are in the other parts of the building, don't really cover compensate. You get bored. So sometimes you play this game where customers will come in and you try to guess which movie they're going to see. That was my favorite weekend of all time because, like you said, it was The Dark Knight and Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And, okay, for the most part, it was relatively easy to do, because if you saw a big group of girls coming in, they're going to see Mamma Mia. If you saw a big group of dudes, chances are they're going to see
Dark Knight.
The couples were the wild card, because you had to kind of, okay, is this a dude that seems like he would sacrifice going to see Dark Knight to go watch Mamma Mia with his girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Does she seem the type that would be all, would it would be cool to go see Dark Knight? Because I know I was excited to see Dark Knight. I didn't see Mamma Mia for a long time.
Right.
The real wild card was when you would get a group of guys come up and you'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to be Dark Knight. And then they would all very excitedly ask for tickets to Mamma Mia. And you would go, okay, I missed that completely.
Yeah, yeah. The style of dress didn't give it away. Like,
not always.
Not always? Okay.
Sometimes, but not
so,
always.
So not the fashionable gaze. Not the high-end gaze from the White Lotus this week.
No.
Okay. All right. So.
No. If the high-end gaze came in, I would have been a dead giveaway. I don't know which one I was going to see.
They'd have been asking for Madame Butterfly, you know, from the Metropolitan Opera.
It's true. Mamma Mia might be beneath them.
It's true. Sorry, if you haven't watched The White Lotus yet, go do that now. It is well worth your time. Anyway, that's getting off the rails here. That's a whole different show. That's a new podcast we're gonna have to start. But yeah, so we've got to run all these late show times. Now, for you, me, Megan, management staff, essentially, it is what it is. We accept that's part of the burden of our jobs.
It's annoying, but you do what you gotta do.
But my big concern is the kids.
Yeah.
And specifically kids' parents. Like that's because once they come in and start complaining, that's when I'm going to go, it's out of my hands. I have to schedule what I need. Like, if you really want to go and complain to somebody, I'm sending you up the corporate chain.
Yeah.
So that way they can get the memo. You know, I try not to complain too much, and I'm trying not to get this damn movie too much more press than it needs, but it is everywhere. There's no avoiding it. But that's okay, because we're going to have a discussion towards the end of the show, Trisha, that we've been having for the last few days because of some comments that one James Cameron had to make yet again. But it's okay. It's a fun one. You'll like it.
We have a new game.
We do. So
it fits in very well with how we just operate as pop culture nerds in general.
Exactly.
We'll get into that.
Exactly. So that's what we're preparing for. We're just going to see what happens. Like I said, there's nothing else opening this week.
Nope.
At all. This is the only thing that's going to sell.
We get Puss in Boots next Wednesday.
We do get Puss in Boots. That's at least some counter programming, but that's going to be for the Christmas crowd.
Yep.
And I'm hoping it does well.
But even Christmas doesn't have a whole lot, because it's
no
Babylon and the Whitney Houston biopic.
Right. I do think that Whitney Houston biopic is going to pull some people.
Yes.
And
that's not trying to disparage either of those movies. It's just neither of those are big ones that are going to, you know, disrupt Avatar.
Right. Yeah. So we watched Violent Night last night. And so, of course, we had trailers for two out of these three movies. And Babylon's got star power, but we discussed this on our last show, I think, about, or did that happen yet? The Quentin Tarantino thing about movie stars?
I don't know.
Okay.
We've had the conversation in person several times, whether we've talked about it here, I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Tarantino made the comment about MCU movies, you know.
In case y'all ever wondered if this is how we are in real life, yes.
Yes, this is producing on the fly. So, recap. Tarantino made the comment that basically people don't come see Marvel movies or DC movies for the actors in the movie. They come to see... That's not for me. They come to see the characters. Yeah. They come for the IP. And it's basically rendered it to where you have to find new ways to sell your movies. Mm-hmm. Used to be that you could sell a movie off of the name of the actor in it. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, whatever. Babylon would be a prime case of that, between Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, Tobey Maguire's in this damn thing. You've got Damien Chazelle writing and directing, and of course he's known for La La Land and Whiplash and First Man. So there's pedigree to that. It's also an awards season. It's awards bait. Yeah. So they're going to be banking on that. We watched the trailer for it, and I went, that looks like Damien Chazelle is trying to do a Baz Luhrmann film, like.
Sure.
Like, without as much glitz and glam, but still quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, all it needed was one fabulous, like, musical number and some more stylistic shots, and yeah, it would have been close to Moulin Rouge in my book.
Yeah. Musical sequence with modern day music.
Yes. Yes.
But no, his comments weren't necessarily wrong, it was the way he phrased, like the way he presented it that bothered me.
Right.
Because it, like I said, it gives off very much old man yelling at cloud vibes.
Still cracks me up when you make a Simpsons reference, because I know you don't watch the show.
Sure. Because it's like, okay, the culture around movie going has changed in the last 30 years. Yeah. It is what it is. And if he was just like, hey, I've noticed this is interesting about, you know, moviegoers mm-hmm. today, I wouldn't have been upset. But the way he's just like, he almost says it condescendingly.
Right.
Like, he tries to be like, well, no one goes to see movies for the stars anymore, and that's just stupid. And it's like, we've always said, anytime someone throws a fit about anything in theater, we're always like, we're not a necessity.
Yeah.
Moviegoing is very much entertainment. It's very much it's an extra.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why you're throwing a fit about something that you don't have to do.
Right.
And it's like, I think everyone has caught on to that. Like, now in this age where people can't even buy a house, mm-hmm. they can't barely afford their bills, they don't go to the movies as often. And yeah. It is what it is. And so in order for, basically, they have to sell their movies more than just, hey, this person's in it.
Right.
And be like, oh, I like that person, I'll go mm-hmm. see that movie. Now it's like, you actually have to sell your movie.
Yeah.
You have to sell the plot, the characters, the quality. You have to convince them that it is a movie worthy of them spending their hard-earned money on.
Right.
Because it's not like, well, they're going to go to the movies anyway, so we'll just put something out and people will go see it.
Yeah.
No, you have to convince them. You have to sell it now. And it kind of gives off the vibe of, well, I don't want to sell it. I want to just pay a famous person a lot of money.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there.
And put it out there. And I just, mm-hmm. I don't want to actually sell it. I just want this person's name to sell it.
Right.
And it's like, I'm sorry that you actually have to put more work into the art that you put out.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you want a cookie?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're not going to get it, because I feel like we did have this conversation on our last episode, but either way. But very much Babylon would have been one of those movies that was able to sell itself based on just who's in it. And we've had several movies like that have not done near as well as they used to.
I think a lot of those, the movies where they have almost too many big names
mm-hmm.
that ended up being, like, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Love Actually, but people actually like Love Actually, mm-hmm. myself included. Like, those kind of movies where they have a lot of big names in it. And people would go, and it would just be either okay or just not good. I think that kind of burned a lot of people on going to see movies just because someone they like is in it.
Sure.
And so anymore, it's like, okay, that person's in it. Cool. Convince me not to wait for it to hit a streaming service.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so Babylon's one of those movies, and so it's coming out, and of course it's got Golden Globe nominations. It's awards bait, is what I said earlier. So we won't have any actual contenders until the week of Christmas. So this week it is all Avatar. Everybody cleared the path. And my complaint to you the other day was, why wouldn't you, when you know Avatar, or everybody seems to think Avatar is going to sell out every single showing, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, why wouldn't you put out one of your smaller films, you know, anywhere from a $5 million to a $20 million budget, throw a little bit of advertising on it, release it as an alternative, but that's the other thing too, you have to put enough money into your advertising budget to actually get butts in seats.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to be worth your time at all. And maybe most companies just went, we're not worth it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you, we've seen this year, horror movies have been prime to do well.
Well,
small budgets.
Even if they would have taken, we joke about the month of January
mm-hmm.
being, well, the movies that they basically, it's one of the months where movies go to die. We're like, well, we need to get it out.
Yeah.
But we don't have confidence in it. We'll just dump it in January because everyone's gone to see the big stuff for that's come out for, you know, the holidays. So maybe, you know, people will still be in the movies to go and they'll go see it. Take one of your movies you would have dumped in January.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and program. At that point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You're not going to make money on it either way.
Might as well.
Maybe you make a few extra of people who can't get into Avatar.
Yeah. Or people that
don't want to go see Avatar.
Right. Or, yeah.
I think a good candidate for that would have been the new Gerard Butler flick.
Oh, Plane. Yeah.
I think there's plenty of people that don't care about Avatar that would go see that.
I would go with that one.
I admit I'm biased.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone knows how much both of us enjoy Gerard Butler, you know, disaster action flicks.
Yeah.
They're just fun.
They're almost all
they're
terrible.
Good,
and yeah.
But they're fun.
What was the one that was actually like good was what was that? Greenland?
Yes.
Yes. That was legit surprisingly good.
That was legit good.
And got released at a time when we, one, needed movies, but two, had no real like studio backing.
Geostorm.
Oh, God,
yeah.
You
watched that recently.
I did. Holy shit, that was bad. But I was entertained the whole way through.
But it was so much fun. And yeah. Gerard Butler is one of those actors that I don't... You know, they say there's no movie stars. I go see a Gerard Butler film because Gerard Butler's in it. And I know it's going to be fun.
Exactly.
That's all you need.
Exactly. So
I know it's going to be terrible, but I know I'm going to enjoy every minute that I'm watching it.
But that's my complaint, is that there is no counter-programming this week. There's nothing else to see. So if I...
Someone should have dumped something onto this week.
Yeah.
Because I know that they have movies that they're not expecting to make money on.
No.
Just go, why not? Take a chance.
Yeah.
Put it up again. No one's going to win against Avatar. I accept that. And I don't... We all know how much I don't care about this movie. At least try. Dump something on this weekend.
Throw something out there. Like I said, and if you miss, well, fuck, you're going to write it off anyway. Just... take it for now. Like, it is what it is. But yeah, like I said, I think that's my big complaint. And of course, you know, our staff has been going, well, are we gonna need to screen this? I'm like, guys, no. Like, even if we were allowed to, because like this time around we're actually not allowed to screen it early. Like, we had to do test runs of it to make sure that the 3D and stuff was working.
Manager and projection only.
Yeah,
we're allowed to do a quality screening of it, which we didn't actually watch the whole movie because none of us want to watch the movie.
Right. So, yeah, we checked it. We made sure it was going to work. It works.
Yeah.
So, and then God forbid anything else happens this weekend. But I also don't have 3.5 hours to dedicate. But
yeah, we have Disney threatening to fine theaters if they don't follow all of the rules.
Yeah. So,
which means no free passes. No employee passes, which that's what I hate the most. Like, these are the people that are working to sell your movie, to facilitate people seeing your movie. The least you could do, the ones, you know, no theater pays their staff well enough.
No.
It's just, it is what it is. It's like fast food. You're not going to get paid well for it.
No.
But the one true perk that I think unanimously movie theaters will, employees will tell you makes it worth it is those free passes.
Yep.
And so come in for on your studio day off and watch a movie. To say basically fuck you, pay us or wait, when they're the ones facilitating your movie making money, that's bullshit, and that pisses me off.
That's twice now that they've done it.
And it could even understand opening weekend. Hey, just don't go opening weekend so that people who are going to pay can go. Sure. But this is 10 days.
Yeah.
They can't go see it until after Christmas for free.
Yeah. Yep. And granted, most of them aren't going to have enough time off to go watch it anyway.
Yeah.
But even still, like, they should be allowed to, or at the very least, granted, I'm not sticking around just for them to do an employee screening, even if we allowed it. Like, I don't have 3.5 hours to do it. I just don't.
But when they're making us run super early in the morning and late at night, there is no time for us to get employee screening in.
Exactly.
And give everybody the opportunity to do it.
Exactly. So, so that's presently what we're dealing with. And so, yeah, so if you're going to sit there and ask, well, why are you so, look, the movie itself, here's what I will say. Avatar 2 will be good for the theater industry.
Yes.
It like, there's no question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. It will be good for the theater industry. It will not be good on the employees in that industry.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. So, all that being said, if you are going to go out this weekend and see Avatar The Way of Water at your local multiplex or your local, you know, hole-in-the-wall cinema, wherever you're going to go, and whatever format you're going to go see it in, be nice to the movie staff. Like,
for a reason.
I was going to say, I close out with that every episode for a reason, and this weekend's going to be one of those. like we're, you know, it's the holiday season. Like we're already dealing with enough bullshit as it is, both personally and you know, at work. It just, it's, yeah, if you're, like I said, if you're going out this weekend to see it, take time, spend money at the concession stand.
Yes.
You know, don't just ask for a free cup of water and then just dick off the entire time. Like, actually buy something.
Yes.
Because at this point, we've got 10 theaters that are going to be running this one movie, and you're probably not going to want to get up too often to come get more candy, more. Yeah, maybe you will. I don't know.
It's a long movie.
It's a long fucking movie. Like, you know, just like I said, be mindful.
Yeah.
Be mindful of where you're at, what's going on, and what people are going through. And not just here, restaurants too, retail, all that.
Yeah, this time of year is really rough on any industry that works with the public.
Yeah.
It's a rough time of year for, even beyond work, it's a rough time of year for a lot of us, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard time of year for me. I experienced some seasonal depression, and also Christmas was my mom's favorite holiday, and mm-hmm. we lost her 3 days after Christmas, so this is a rough time of year for me, that I just honestly, I sit here for most of December going, I just have to survive the holidays and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Both professionally and personally. And so, but at the same time, I would never take that out on a service industry worker. I would never, if I go to, you know, get a coffee and it's messed up, I'm not going to scream and yell at them.
Yeah.
Half the time I might not even say anything. I'm going to be like, oh, it's fine. I'll drink this.
I think that's more your introverted anxiety. So,
but I would never, any time of year, I would never do that.
Right.
And honestly, as the saying goes, you catch more flies with honey. Like,
mm-hmm.
when you're nice to these service workers, trust me, as a manager, I bend over backwards for the people who are nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
The people who yell at me and get mad at me and treat me like dirt, I'm doing bare minimum to get them out the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We've discussed that on here, too.
Yeah.
But
especially this time of year.
Yeah. So, all right. So, before we go, close out and go to our next segment, Trisha, is there anything major that I missed?
Don't really think so.
No? Okay. Well, yeah, I would bore you guys with the tears of, to tears with my London trip, so, but I'm not going to do that this go around. I will tell you, if you're over there, go check out the Harry Potter studio tour.
You were not a nerd like me and did not go see a movie like I did.
I did not. I actually, no, instead I was a theater nerd and actually went to a live show. I went to see Book of Mormon. One, absolutely fantastic show. Two, concession prices are cheaper at that. So, you know, I've been to, obviously we work at a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to theaters across the country. You know that I've gone to live shows, you know, or, you know, concerts or whatever. Football games, all of that. Been to all these different venues. And I can honestly say that concession prices in the West End, at this theater at least in particular,
mm-hmm.
And even at the O2 Arena for the basketball game I went to, are cheaper than what they are here. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why, because I'm sitting there looking at these facilities and I'm going, these are high-end facilities. Like, somebody's got to be paying for this. Now, granted, I guess when you've got the Book of Mormon and it's selling out every single show or whatever, I guess it more than makes up for itself, but like,
makes sense.
But yeah, I found that totally interesting. So, but yeah, check that out. Also see a show in the West End, check out Shakespeare's Globe. Of course, go see the touristy shit, the Tower of London and the Crown Jewels, Westminster Abbey, all that. One thing I did, and this is what I like to do in major cities that I go to, is see like movies, like I'll take a movie tour. This time I did a full-blown James Bond tour. So I get to go to all these mundane sites and then get shown pictures that, mm-hmm. that show exactly what this sequence is for. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that. And I'm like, okay, so now when I watch it again, I can go, I've been there. I do that. So anyway.
Stop rolling your eyes at me when I do that.
I do it all the time anyway. I don't care. I'll be hypocrite about it. Just know that when I do it, it's coming from a place of love. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to discuss, there's quite a bit we could discuss. We've got trailers we could talk about. You know what? Let's just talk about Violent Night when we come back. So,
the movie we watched last night?
Yep. I have a list here. All right. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Your dog is cute. Your kids are adorable. And your cat really does look good in that tutu. But there's only so many times you can talk about how cool velociraptors are, or how much you want to rub that fuzzy belly. How about a podcast with extraordinary people and scintillating conversation? It's the Derek Duvall Show. Find it at DerekDuvallShow.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And no, I will not be attending your cat's quinceañera.
All right, we're back. So, haven't watched a movie in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, but I had one on my list that I said, as soon as I get back from London, we are going to watch. I really have two, but this one took priority over everything else. Because you know me, I don't get super excited about Christmas or the holidays. Nope. I enjoy Christmas movies, though. Mm-hmm. And I especially enjoy Christmas movies that have a little more adult bent to them. You know, like, so we can go all day about, you know, Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, Elf, Miracle on 34th Street, all those, like, classics. Christmas classics. But what I like to do is watch the ones that you don't sit there and really think about as being Christmas movies until you get there.
Fair.
Of course, we have the perennial favorite, Die Hard, where everybody goes, well, it's just an action. No, it's about a man trying to reunite his family on Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. Lethal Weapon, which is about a cop who's going through some real heavy seasonal depression while having to deal with his new partner, or the new partner's having to deal with him, while coping with his age. And, of course, it's all happening during the holidays. Mm-hmm. Very much a family bent, and that whole series is about family, so, you know, it's more holiday than that. Gremlins.
I was gonna say Gremlins.
Gremlins, of course, the horror comedy classic. Set at the Christmas season and letting little shits just ruin the holiday for Kingston Falls? Yes, Kingston Falls. Krampus.
Yeah.
Bad Santa. Like, I've got some warped ones on there. You asked me to put it on, like, we're going to watch some... Hell, I'll even go back into, like, the schlocky slasher flicks and pull out Silent Night, Deadly Night. But we're not talking about any of those. We're talking about this perfect casting of David Harbour of Stranger Things fame, John Leguizamo as his villain, Violent Night from Universal Studios. Trisha, I mean, we were watching it. Uh-huh. You heard, I was cackling. Yes. I was dying laughing.
Yes.
I think we were all on board with this idea when we saw the first trailer, right?
Oh, very much.
So here's the premise. If you haven't seen the trailer for it, basically Santa Claus is kind of just he's in a holiday funk too.
He's jaded.
He's very jaded. Hard drinking, just, you know, all that. And
going on a tirade about kids these days.
Yeah, damn Zoomers. But going on, you know, just about how it's all the holidays become really materialistic. All the exact same shit I've probably been saying for the last decade, right? Anyway, well, of course, he winds up at the house of this wealthy, this compound, really, this family compound, mm-hmm. of these wealthy, you know, industrialists, led by Beverly D'Angelo from Christmas Vacation and a bunch of other movies. And I'm going, is that Beverly D'Angelo? That's Beverly D'Angelo. God damn, she is actually just cussing up a storm. But anyway, of course, winds up at this house, you know, to deliver presents. Mm-hmm. Hilarity ensues when a bunch of people decide
on a hostage situation.
As they are trying to rob a vault that is inside the compound.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo just chews up the scenery as the villain, Mr. Scrooge. There's all kinds of, like, not even just callbacks, but, like, straight up direct references to Die Hard and Home Alone, especially. Right.
Everyone kept describing it as Home Alone meets Die Hard, and it's like, it's not just that, like, it literally is that. Like, there's so many references and callbacks and little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
for both of those movies. It 100% is Home Alone meets Die Hard.
Right. And you know, in going with this concept, they could have easily tried to, like, make it gritty and realistic and have Santa not be, like, the actual Santa Claus. He's just, you know, mall Santa that got hired and was wrong place. Yeah. Straight Die Hard and be wrong place, wrong time. Instead, we actually get to play with magic and, like, Christmas magic.
Christmas magic.
And so this is Santa Claus. Like, there's the reindeer. There's all of that. There's references to Rudolph being a professional over the other reindeer. It is... This is a pitch-perfect action comedy centered around a fantastical concept. This is what I go to the movies for.
One of my favorite things is that they never really explain how Christmas magic works, because every time... Someone's like, well, how did he do that? Or how did you do that? And he's like, Christmas magic. I don't really know how it works. And right. Like, that's it. That's
just
move on. You get. You just move on.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So there's that. There's the little girl in there. The character's name is Trudy.
Yeah.
She is just adorable. This girl is just an absolute sweetheart. You're like, you probably, if you have kids, you're probably sitting there watching this movie going, I wish my kids would act like that instead. And just year round, not just at the holidays, but like, you've got that. You've got, of course, her parents, her mom, Alexis Louder is the actress's name. She was in Cop Shop that we watched last year.
Megan kept saying she looked familiar. Yes, and I was like, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Like, I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
Like,
so yeah. So that's another, movie, that we will recommend to you guys is check out Cop Shop. It's on Peacock is last I played this up. Yeah, another Gerard Butler movie.
The action movie that's just so much
fun. It was way, way better than it had any right to be. This is the kind of movie that I go for, and I think it's going to be an instant holiday classic. I said, before the movie even ended, I said, this is going to my rotation every year. Like, I will watch this every single holiday season.
Definitely.
You guys... And here's the kicker. It is an R-rated movie. It is a hard R-rated movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, there was at one point, there was a conversation between Megan and I where, I'm trying to figure out how to word this without giving anything away. It has to do with the Nutcracker.
Oh! You know what? That's enough.
And Megan was like, did this happen or did this happen? And my response was literally have my hoodie pulled up over my face. I said, I don't know. I couldn't watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And I feel like that's all that really needs to be said.
It's true. It's true. It's pretty. And of course everybody's hearing, well, Nutcracker. I'm like, it's not quite what you think there, but there is beautiful use of sledgehammers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have not seen a sledgehammer get creatively used like that in a long, long time. Christmas ornament. Basically, if you can name a Christmas decoration, it gets weaponized at some point during this movie.
Yeah, we talked about that during the movie.
Yeah.
We were like, I love how much they use Christmas decorations as, you know, makeshift weapons throughout the entire movie.
Yes. Yeah, I was sitting there just thinking, this is... The action is very, very much pulled from John Wick. Like, it's pretty brutal, but it's fun.
I remember thinking how perfect the name of the movie was.
Uh-huh.
For two reasons. One, it is a very violent movie.
It is.
It is extremely violent. So be prepared for that. But also, the Christmas puns.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. This movie knew exactly what it wanted to be.
So many Christmas puns.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite one, it was actually in the trailers, but it was like, Santa's going to go through them like a plate of cookies. And I'm like, yes! I'm like, oh, that is so bad, it's good. Like, and that's the thing, is you're going to do a movie like that, you have to lean into it.
You have to lean into it. Make it campy and schlocky. That's the only way it works.
Exactly, because like I said, if they'd done this as like a gritty, realistic action thriller.
It wouldn't have been half as fun.
No, I'd have been sitting there going... This is a little much, but like, there's another aspect to this too that is really neat, and I'm gonna drop it here. It's not really a spoiler, but okay. If growing up you hear about Santa Claus and you learn about the history of Santa Claus, right? Mm-hmm. They actually include part of his backstory in there as being like a former Viking,
mm-hmm.
and include that. And so, like, because, like, when you see him without a shirt on,
I was like, there's a moment where he has to dress, like, he gets, I think, stabbed.
Yeah.
In the gut. And so he takes a shirt off to dress the wound. And you just see his chest and his shoulders and down his arms are just covered in these intricate, like, Celtic knots and, like, Viking tattoos. And all of us were just like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're
but
pulling.
But did you notice how faded it looked? Because says he's, like, you know, he's been married to Mrs. Claus for, like, 1,100 years. And so he would think in all that time, they're not going to be bright and vibrant. And so I love how faded they make the tattoos look. And you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And you just get this quick little flash of him in this, like, helmet. And you're just like, what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it is really cool. Like, so
you get enough to pique your interest, but not enough. But they don't actually explain, like, fully how it all happened. Just a little teaser.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping we get a sequel and we get to explore that and explore some other aspects in there too. But yeah, if you're looking for something to go see this weekend, take the kids, take the whole family. It's a great family holiday film. I highly recommend it. But no, like, if you were looking for something to go see instead of Avatar, this has got to be your other option. Yeah. So it's also half as much time, probably more, less than that. Like, it's what, 90 minutes, a little over that. Yeah.
I think it's an hour 45.
Yeah.
Pushing two, just under two with trailers.
Yep.
Versus Avatar's literally 3.5 with trailers.
Yeah. So yeah, go out, check that out this weekend. Like, we could go on all day about it. Like, I want to see it again. I think I'm going to make Crystal go see it at some point before we hit Christmas, because I was enthralled with, like I said, an idea like that. It can go one of two ways. It can go either really, really well, which is the case here, where the execution's right, all that, or it can go in the opposite direction to where it's, sometimes it winds up being so bad it's good.
Yeah.
More often than not, it just winds up being just straight up bad. This is not that. This is very much a, we know what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lean into that tone. We're just going to have fun with it and play it as the comedy that it is, and have a lot of fun with it. So, yeah, that's the most recent thing I've watched. I didn't watch anything before I left town. So I wanted to see the menu. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I've heard Bones and All is good. I don't know that I'm ready to watch The Boy eat people yet. So
The Boy.
But yeah. Anyway. All right. So while I was out and about across the pond, we had some things go down that over at DC, which, nothing has been confirmed, denied, but the Hollywood Reporter put out this big long report that we told you guys a few weeks ago. James Gunn has moved in as the co-CEO of DC Studios. And of course, they're making changes left and right.
DC's trying to make him the Kevin Feige of DC.
Right.
Essentially.
Yes. And so, anyway, which is fine.
Which is fine. I don't say that to disparage DC. I say that as I'm impressed they finally are trying to get their shit together.
Well, new management.
Trying.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not giving them too much credit yet.
No. If anybody can do it, I think it'll be James Gunn.
Yes.
Personally. But James Gunn and Peter Safran, they have some real important decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole report was about. So bear with me. Amongst the reports, we had, there is no Man of Steel 2. The Aquaman 2 will be the last one with Jason Momoa before they transition him over to playing Lobo, which is like an alien bounty hunter.
Their
answer to Deadpool.
Purely speculation, though, isn't it?
It's coming from the Hollywood Reporter. So they have an inside source that probably heard something or saw something. And
I heard that was just purely speculation. But
right. And I'm going to get to that. But there's that. Wonder Woman 3 is off the table. There was even up to today, rumors that they were going to try and merge Robert Pattinson's Batman into this new version of the DCU.
Don't hate that idea, but
I'm not loving it.
It'd be tricky to do.
I think it depends on what they do. I think it would have been easier 10 years ago to fold Christian Bale's Batman
into because I remember them saying that they were ignoring the Dark Knight trilogy when they were moving ahead. And I remember at the time saying, well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But now,
in hindsight, I think they could have done it.
At that point, that was the right thing to do. I'm not convinced that moving Pattinson's Batman into the DC EU is the right plan right now, because that is very much its own thing.
Yeah. So
even though it's under the title of Batman.
Right. So
I think tone wise, it's not the same.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, there's been that. There's been talk that there was supposed to be a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton in the works that has now been canceled. There's all this information that's coming out that we don't know what is and what's not true. And luckily, James Gunn is trying to be as transparent as he possibly can without letting too much gut out there.
Yeah, he knows he's got to win over a lot of people that...
So
it's not starting from scratch like Marvel, or where you can just basically do what you want and hope they like it. Now they have to win people back.
Right.
That have already turned their back basically on DC. And that's harder to do.
Exactly. So he responded to this story from the Hollywood Reporter, talking about it, and basically put out this tweet. It was a little long thread. But here's some of the highlights. He said, so as for the story yesterday, so this is coming, this came out on the 7th. And then James Gunn responded on the 8th. And like I said, he is still responding at this point. He said, so as for the story yesterday in the Hollywood Reporter, some of it is true. Some of it is half true. Some of it is not true. And some of it, we haven't even decided yet whether it's true or not. Although this first month at DC has been fruitful, building the next 10 years of story takes time, and we're still just beginning. So yeah, he said,
sounds like someone sat in on a brainstorming session and just published everything that was brought up as if it's true.
Yep. So he continues, Peter and I chose to helm DC Studios knowing we were coming into a fractious environment, both in the stories being told and in the audience itself, and there would be an unavoidable transitional period as we moved into telling a cohesive story across film, TV, animation, and gaming. But in the end, the drawbacks of that transitional period were dwarfed by the creative possibilities and the opportunity to build upon what has worked in DC so far and to help rectify what has not. We know we are not going to make every single person happy every step of the way, but we can promise everything we do is done in the service of the story and in the service of the DC characters we know you cherish and we have cherished our whole lives. He said, as for more answers about the future of the DCU, I will sadly have to ask you to wait. We are giving these characters and the stories the time and attention they deserve, and we ourselves still have a lot more questions to ask and answer. So, to me, that says we're not taking this lightly. We know we have a big, big responsibility here to fix what's not working.
Yeah.
And
he's basically like, I know I stepped into a mess. I'm taking this seriously. I'm going to do what I can.
Yeah.
Please be patient.
Right. And... When it comes to the DCU, at least since Justice League and Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, since that time, we've had more positive come out of it than not. So the last Suicide Squad movie was
very well received. It's almost like when they stopped trying too hard, things just worked better.
Yes.
When they're like, you know what, we're going to stop trying to make them all fit, and we're just going to try to make a movie that's good.
Yes.
Things just kind of flowed better.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I think that's honestly at this point the best course of action until you figure out exactly what they're going to do. Now, one of the things that we did have confirmed as true out of that is Wonder Woman 3 is not moving forward at this time. That's the key phrasing there, at this time.
They're not
time.
Saying never, they're just saying not right.
Right.
Now.
So, and of course that...
as much as they have going on and trying to figure out, I don't think that's a bad move.
No.
Because Wonder Woman 84 did well, but had a lot of mixed reviews.
Yes, both from critics and audiences.
Yes, so I think taking a step back from existing enterprises that they haven't been made yet is a good plan to kind of take a step back. Okay, we're going to release what we have. We're going to take a moment before we do anything else and figure out where we're going.
Yep. So anyway, so that has led, of course, people to speculating about what caused that to happen in terms of Patty Jenkins' role in the movie being canceled and also tying back to her initially leaving Rogue Squadron and then possibly coming back. And like I said, that speculation has just gone through the roof. Nobody knows what's happening. So she finally put out a statement yesterday that said, this is what's going on. She said... I'm just going to read the statement in full. I'm not one to talk about private career matters, but I will not allow inaccuracies to continue. Here are the facts. I originally left Rogue Squadron, the Star Wars X-Wing fighter movie, after a long and productive development process when it became clear it couldn't happen soon enough and I did not want to delay Wonder Woman 3 any further. When I did, Lucasfilm asked me to consider coming back to Rogue Squadron after Wonder Woman 3, which I was honored to do, so I agreed. They made a new deal with me. In fact, I am still on it, and that project has been in active development ever since. I don't know if it will happen or not. We never do until the development process is complete, but I look forward to its potential ahead. When there started being backlash about Wonder Woman 3 not happening, the attractive clickbait false story that it was me that killed it or walked away started to spread. This is simply not true. I never walked away. I was open to considering anything asked of me. It was my understanding there was nothing I could do to move anything forward at this time. DC is obviously buried in changes and they are having to make, so I understand these decisions are difficult right now. I do not want what has been a beautiful journey with Wonder Woman to land on a negative note. I have loved and been so honored to be the person who got to make these last two Wonder Woman films. She is an incredible character. Living in and around her values makes one a better person every day. I wish her and her legacy an amazing future ahead, with or without me. And then she goes on to talk about how, you know, Linda Carter and Gal Gadot getting to work alongside them with, yeah. you know, all that, and how, and the cast, like,
yeah.
the typical, I'm thankful yes. for the people that helped make those movies possible.
Yeah.
Okay. James Gunn came out.
Not relevant to the conversation we're currently
having. No. James Gunn did come out and say, and basically confirm that, and yeah. said, every meeting that we had with you was pleasant, yeah. fruitful, and insightful about what we want to do or trying to do going forward. Yeah. So it sounds like
she made a decision based on priorities, and now things are shifting.
Yes.
And up in the air, and people are reading too much into the timing.
Exactly.
That they don't need to be reading into.
Exactly. So,
what? Nerds on the internet overreacting?
I know. And it always happens when there's a woman involved. Go figure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole situation sucks. The one piece of speculation that had me going, that's going to get messy, but I'm kind of okay with it, is the ending Aquaman as is and then moving Jason Momoa over to Lobo. Because if you look at the comic book character of Lobo, have you ever seen a picture of him?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me that doesn't look like an alien Jason Momoa.
It does.
And like that attitude, like his attitude there, I think would fit better than it does with Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed his Aquaman so yeah. far.
I see why they did it
yeah.
and why they were trying to kind of go a new direction with Aquaman from what it was in the comics.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah. And then in the mix of all the speculation too, we just talked a few weeks ago about Henry Cavill coming back as Superman and now
they're saying no Superman,
no Man of Steel 2. And then of course everybody's going, well, did Henry Cavill just wind up quitting The Witcher for nothing? Blah, blah, blah. James Gunn has now come out and said Superman is a priority. Did not say whether or not that would be Henry Cavill, has not had anything negative to say about Henry Cavill. So
from what I understand, though, he left The Witcher because they're going in a direction he doesn't like.
Is that the case?
Apparently, he is a big fan of The Witcher books.
Okay.
And he very much wants them to stay true to the books.
Okay.
And they're very much not doing that. And so finally, it sounds like it hit a point where he was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And so he's walking.
Gotcha.
He's like, I don't like where this is going, so I don't want to do
okay.
it. And he's Henry Cavill, so he can do that.
Right. But on top of that, though, the added bonus of possibly going back as Superman, make that an easier decision to make, I'm
sure. I don't
sure.
like where this is going, but I have the opportunity to go back and play a character
that I love.
That I love and means so much to him. He named his dog after the character's dog. Like,
yeah.
He became a Kansas City Chiefs fan because that's what the character, what team the character would root for. Like,
yeah.
This man embodies Superman.
Right.
And so when he's like, I don't like where this current show's going, and I have the opportunity to go play this character that means that much to me, I'm going to go do that. I'll be happier over there.
Yeah.
And at this point, he can do what makes him happy, not what makes him money.
Absolutely.
And it's also probably going to make him plenty of money.
Exactly. So, yeah, it just, like I said, I hate that there's this much speculation going on and that it, true, false, whatever. It sounded like
everything DC related has been such a clusterfuck. I'm not surprised that people are propagating rumors.
Right. I think the thing that I am going to be the most sad about, because it's more than likely going to be true and canceled, is where this Flash movie that's coming out. which comes out in June, which I want to point out, we have trailers for several June releases. Indiana Jones. There's another one in there. Was it a Marvel movie?
We did. Does Guardians come out in June?
Guardians comes out in May, but still, that's
we
a summer
just got
release.
A trailer for Guardians.
Yeah. There's another one in there. We don't have anything for The Flash yet, outside of the little in-production trailer that we got last
poster.
Year. Yeah, we don't have
They've
a poster.
They've done nothing.
No.
I'm not convinced this movie's coming out.
I mean, that's fair.
I mean, Ezra Miller has managed to keep their head down, but...
Yeah.
How long is that going to last?
Right. I'm not quite that convinced, but I do think that Warner Brothers is not quite sure what to do with the film. And if they're not quite sure what to do with the film, and they're talking, you know, now it's coming up that Michael Keaton's Batman won't be included after mm-hmm. the Flash movie at all, I'm really bummed out because I was really looking forward to the return of that character, be it in a Batman Beyond movie or another multiverse thing, or even a the idea of an old man Batman story starring Michael Keaton. It's just that I want that so bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if this is what it's going to take in order to make the DCU, you know,
work
and not be a complete clusterfuck, I'm all for it. Like, I'm going to trust James Gunn because I know the dude's a nerd. He is a comic book fan. Yeah. Like, he managed to take the Guardians of the Galaxy, a fucking talking raccoon and tree, and managed to make two fantastic hits out of him with a third on the way and a fucking holiday special that was hysterical. I'm going to trust the guy.
Yeah.
Like, at this point. Like, he's also made some really wild, smaller pictures on his end that have been really, really good. I'm going to let the man breathe.
I trust that James Gunn will do mm-hmm. what he can, mm-hmm. but at this point, I'm not confident that it's going to work.
And I think that's fair.
I want, and I... I'd be, the first person to eat crow if it works.
Yeah.
I want it to work.
Yeah.
I just, at this point, I think too much has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's possible to salvage it.
I mean, we're...
At this time.
Right.
That's why I think it's smart that they're taking a step back
mm-hmm.
to reevaluate.
Yeah.
Because trying to keep shoving it down people's throats and making it work is not, it's just making it worse.
Yeah.
Take a step back, let some time pass. Drop some dead weight. Why is Ezra Miller still on board?
Right. So
drop some dead weight.
Yeah.
Take some time.
Yeah.
Let people kind of let some time pass so that it's not as fresh in their mind how disappointed they've been and stuff. And then try again.
Yeah. And from what I'm reading there, the going to build on what has worked, like that's promising. That
it sounds like the couple decisions that they've openly made mm-hmm. seem like the right decisions at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, what building on what has worked, like, that tells me, okay, what has worked is we're going to keep what we know has worked and just make it better, build on it. Mm-hmm. And then what hasn't worked can be jettisoned out into space, never be heard from again. Ezra Miller. So, anyway, all right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, James Cameron had some comments, and we've got a game to play based off of that. So we'll be right back.
Once upon a time.
Boring.
It was the best of times. It was the worst.
You got that right.
What's your problem?
We want new stories.
Hi, it's Frankie.
And Garrett. And we host the Ever Trending Story, a weekly podcast where we bring to life a fictional story created by our own minds and some of the hottest, craziest trends from the internet.
Find us wherever you download podcasts and be sure to join the fun on social media at Ever Trending Pod.
All right, final segment. So, James Cameron. I didn't even read the article. I saw the tweet and immediately went, really? Like, that's what we're going to build on here? Like, by the way, he got COVID this week, so he will not be attending the Avatar premiere. I have to throw this out. So we have our company call every week. Again, these are opinions are my own and Trisha's and nobody else's. They do not belong to any company or subsidiary of. So whatever we're about to say, can't come back on us. These are just personal thoughts. So
please don't fire us.
Yeah, please. It's Christmas, guys. Anyway, so we find that out during our all company call this week, and one of the higher ups put that information out there and was like trying to put it in terms of, we know your guys are going to have a rough weekend and this, that, and the other, but just remember that James Cameron came down with COVID and won't be able to attend the premiere of his own movie. So, you know, you're doing better than he is at this point. And I'm sitting there going, my guy, that is the most tone deaf thing I have ever heard. Like, I had COVID. Like, it's not fun, but I'll recover. What I won't recover from is not having $2 billion in my account. Like,
I know you're working crazy hours and 10-hour shifts, and it's going to be hell, but hey, at least you're not holed up in bed doing nothing.
Yeah. Right? Like, I was there going, no, I think
I'm not saying I'd rather have COVID than work Avatar, but like trying to say it could be worse, you could have COVID, they're both kind of bad. So
I'll say it. I think I'd rather have COVID at this point. Because I'm just like, why? Anyway, so I saw the tweet, and it was from, I believe it was Discussing Film. Basically, he had made a comment that we've talked about. We don't remember this movie very well, like, yeah, other than like the Cliff Notes version of it. That's basically copy paste from a bunch of other White Savior movies.
Don't really remember character names.
Right.
Don't remember details really about plot, place names, other than Pandora, which, okay, that's a well-known mythology.
Right. Well, it helps that Disney created the whole
section
of one of their parks to go towards that.
Blue people. It's White Savior falls in love with Native girl and saves the day.
Yeah.
It's Fern Gully. It's Dances with Wolves. It's Pocahontas, just with the added layer of white boy becomes Native, which is just extra problematic.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
Either way,
it's just, it wasn't memorable other than blue people and, gee, that was really pretty.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so he made this comment that nobody, you know, people don't remember the talking shit on the people that say they don't remember the movie, which would be us, and that they don't remember characters' names. And he goes, well, you know, all these other movies, like the Marvel movies, there's 26 of them, so they, of course, they remember the characters' names, you know, that we only had the one movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Jimmy?
First of all, not every Marvel character is in every Marvel movie.
One. Two. Marvel's an existing IP. Those characters have been around for decades. So even if you don't know, like, their, you know, alter ego names, if you don't know Tony Stark or Bruce Banner or whatever, you still know Hulk. You know Spider-Man, like, you know Tony, you know Iron Man, Captain America, like,
these were characters that existed before the movies came out.
Exactly.
So you know them.
Right. And like, they were everywhere. Like, even if, even without the movies, the glut of MCU movies over the past two decades, those characters still adorned kids' walls at some point or another. Like, or, you know, the Incredible Hulk had a show in the 70s.
I was not, like, I've never been a comic reader. It's just not a medium I really get into.
Yeah.
But I still know, you know, who Spider-Man was.
Right.
I knew who Batman was. Like, I knew who the basic superheroes that everybody knows are.
Yeah.
I knew the Hulk. Like, I knew who these characters were.
Yeah. So, anyway, so he made, that was the comment in his argument. And which brings me to another point. James, you've torpedoed your own argument with one of your own films. You pointed this out the other day. I'll let you explain.
So his whole thing is, well, this movie came out, you know, 15 years ago, and it doesn't have any sequels or blah, 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 so that's why people don't know it. Okay, James. What about Titanic? Titanic came out 25 years ago. How many times have you, listener, had an argument with someone about whether Jack could have fit on the door and both of them survived?
Yeah.
Rose should have moved over. If anything, people remember Jack, they remember Rose, and they remember that damn door.
Yep.
The Mythbusters did an episode on it.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about this.
Yeah.
You know who did that movie?
Who
is in charge of that movie?
Hold on. Wait. Don't tell me. It was James Cameron? What?
His own movie disproves his argument. That was a one-off movie, even older than Avatar. People remember the movie, they remember the characters, they still talk about it.
Yeah.
But it was a one-off.
Yeah.
So we have a new game.
So we have this new game that Trish and I have been playing all week.
Because as you listener have probably figured out by now, we have conversations and movie quotes all the time.
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
So the game is basically whenever this conversation comes up.
Whenever one of us references or quotes a movie, we like to point out, hey, that's a one-off.
Yep.
With memorable characters and plot.
Rabbit is good, rabbit is wise. Bill and Joe from Twister, like, come on, and Rabbit.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like, this is, I mean.
Food.
I can't remember the character's name as that, but I know it's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. And
Dusty. Dusty, yes. But I remember that. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember those lines. Okay, here's another one. This one's going to be an easy one for you.
You last night when we went into Violet Night, I don't remember the conversation, but you quoted the faculty.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go up and adjust the focus on the picture.
And I said something about tweaking it, and out of habit, you hear the word tweaky, and you go, he's tweaking man.
Let him fucking tweak.
And I just immediately yelled back, that was a one-off.
Yep, sure was.
As we were walking theaters, you quoted Anastasia.
Oh, yeah. And the kickers.
And I was literally walking down the hallway into a theater, and I just yelled back, that was a one-off, and kept walking.
Yep. You killed the car. Hell, the character's title or name is in the title in that one. Like, but you remember Ferris. You remember Cameron Fry. And you remember Sloane. Like, we had a whole conversation about Alan Ruck.
Yeah.
And how he appears in everything, and you know his face.
The man has a very extensive filmography, but people still see him and they go, is that Cameron?
That's Cameron. Yeah. So.
And that movie is as old as I am.
Right?
36 years old.
Yeah. But these are the games we play. But yeah, so it's
that's our newest game.
Yes. It's fun. Try it. You know, and even some of the ones that we discussed, though, that aren't exactly one-offs. Like, I pointed out Chinatown and how it has a sequel called The Two Jakes. Nobody knows the Two Jakes.
Megan pointed out, apparently, Bartok had a spinoff from Anastasia. I didn't even know that.
So, hold on. So when it comes to that, the rule of this game, like, it's kind of an unspoken rule, but I'm speaking it out loud now. If it has direct-to-video sequels only...
It's our game. We get to make up the rules as we go.
If it has direct-to-video sequels only...
That doesn't count.
They don't count. No. They don't count. So
like Emperor's New Groove would count. Yes, I know it had sequels and series one up, but it was direct to, what, Disney Plus or Disney Channel?
Yeah.
Doesn't something count. Like
that. Right.
It has to be a theatrical released movie.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Theatrical release sequels.
Yeah. From Dusk Till Dawn is one of my favorites to bring up for that, because there's like, I know there's like two and three. They're direct-to-video. They don't have Clooney. They don't have Robert Rodriguez involved. They don't have Tarantino as, you know, him and Clooney as the Gecko brothers. There's no Salma Hayek. There's none of that. Danny Trejo might be the only character or the only actor that appears in all three. And that's because he's Danny Trejo and does whatever he wants. So it's got to be.
What does he care as long as he's getting paid?
Exactly. So the sequel has to be a theatrically released sequel. Mm-hmm. So like Ghostbusters would not be on this list because it's got Ghostbusters 2, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and that other movie that we don't talk about. But you were pointing out
a lot of Disney movies.
A lot of Disney movies
directed DVD sequels in the 90s.
Yep.
And 2000s.
Yep. So, but like, I mean, yeah. Even if you include that, like, I don't remember. Nobody remembers those sequels except for maybe Cinderella 3, and there was another one. Aladdin and the King of Thieves. Those are like the only like direct to video sequels that anybody speaks positively about. Lion King 1.5.
Yes, Lion King.
Lion King 1.5, which is basically...
I liked Lion King 2.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It wasn't the first
but
one,
like,
but
it was a whole glut of those. But anyway, but that's kind of the rule of the game. So, like, but, like, I even pointed out, like, even if it wasn't a one-off or has since become a franchise, Top Gun is a prime example of that. Mm-hmm. For 36 years, that movie was standalone, and yet everybody you know remembers Goose, Maverick, Iceman, Permission to Buzz the Tower, Negative, Ghost Rider, Patterns Full, like, you know, Talk to Me, Goose. Like, they remember that shit. Remember it so well that we got a movie that came out 36 years later and got a $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the difference between that and Avatar is that they did the stunts for real in that movie. Like, they were actually flying those jets. That's what I, and when we talked about it earlier this year, mm-hmm. I said, look, I think the movie itself is fine. I'm not going to sit there and praise it as being like the end all be all of action movies. But I'll be goddamned if I wasn't impressed by the stunt work done by flying actual fighter jets.
Yeah.
Period. Minimal CGI. So, but yeah, that's, you pointed out the other day though, like with these one-offs, a lot of Christmas movies that get thrown in the mix. Elf's a one-off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how often do you hear every single year, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? You know, or Santa, I know him. Like, you know,
I don't even like Elf and I can still quote it.
Exactly. I don't like Napoleon Dynamite, but I could do that one too. And like, movie drives me up a wall, but the quotes are memorable.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, that's the new game that we're playing to prove a point that James Cameron's argument, because he just
because it's a one-off does not mean it's not memorable. Like, right. you can't excuse an unmemorable movie. Oh, it's just a one-off. That's why. No. There's plenty of one-offs that have a massive impact on pop culture and people remember.
Yeah. It is.
Who doesn't know Ferris Bueller? Like, I was talking about my group chat with my sisters,
mm-hmm.
and one of my sisters asked a question that no one responded to the rest of the night, and the next morning she texted, Bueller. Who doesn't know that?
Right? So, and like, there's even smaller movies where...
Even some of the teenagers we work for us,
uh-huh.
that when I talk about Ferris Bueller, they don't know what I'm talking about, but then they go watch it, and they're like, wait.
Bueller?
I do know some of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people have never seen Star Wars, but they know that Darth Vader is Luke's father?
Right.
And yes, I know that's a series, but still, my point still stands. There's certain things that just are so pervasive in pop culture. You talk about me quoting Simpsons when I don't watch Simpsons.
Yeah.
How many times has that old man yells at clouds become a meme?
Right.
There's certain things that just come into the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. And not all of those are from, you know, longtime TV series or very famous movie series. Sometimes it's a one. Inception is the one I always go back to.
Yep. Our movie of the 2010s, mind you.
Like, I know a lot of people who haven't seen Inception, but have used that word.
Yeah.
In its various formats. I put a cup in a cup. It's Cupception.
Yeah. Like, oh,
who has not said something like that at some point and known exactly what you're talking about, even if you have not watched the movie? How many people watched Inception and didn't get it, but still understand that phrase?
Exactly.
That's a one-off.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's, but that was my thing. And like, I know there's people out there, Chris, Dad and Rock, I know you're excited for Avatar 2. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to sit there and disparage you guys and just go, wow, you really like that piece of trash. I'm not seeing the movie. I can't honestly pass judgment on it. I can pass judgment on the man behind the camera who keeps opening his fucking mouth. And
it's not even that we dislike the movie. The movie's whatever. I don't like the way some people defend it and try to act like it's the end-all be-all of movies.
Yeah.
When it had zero impact. Or try to act like it had this big impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it did behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It moves technology forward a lot. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
CGI is always going to keep moving forward.
But that brings me to another point. Star Wars was a one-off at the time mm-hmm. of its release. Like, obviously, there was a trilogy plan, just like Avatar has.
Yeah.
Star Wars, when it was released, though, everybody knew Darth Vader. They were buying the toys. They know Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia. It was a huge deal. And it moved technology forward in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
It had an impact. And granted, yes, it's become a series since then. But like...
All these series start somewhere.
Exactly.
And they start with one-offs.
Yeah.
That do well.
Yes.
And make an impact.
And people remember that one-off.
Yeah.
And then go from there. And I'm not saying that every movie needs to be sequelized in order to be...
No.
Like, I don't agree with that at all.
No, not everything needs to be sequelized or serialized to have an impact. Yeah. But... trying to act like one-offs can't have an impact or don't have an impact is just demonstrably false.
Exactly.
Like we said, his own argument is torpedoed by his own movies.
Yep.
He has one-off movies that have had a bigger impact than Avatar. So him trying to act like it doesn't is just stupid.
Yeah. So that's my issue with James Cameron. I'm not rooting. I mean, I can't say I'm rooting for the movie to fail because, again, I said it earlier, we need that movie in order for our industry to succeed. What I am hoping for is that it does well enough that we're okay and yeah. they just stop after three.
Yes.
But, and really for me, it's less about whether or not this movie is memorable or whatever. It's more about fucking shutting Jim Cameron up, because yeah. I am sick and tired of hearing from the man. I know there's like a lot of people that sit there and go, well, I'm tired of hearing from Tarantino about movie stars, or Scorsese about Marvel movies not being cinema or whatever. James Cameron's doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Like, but why, y'all are giving him a pass.
Why,
so stop
why
it.
Is there all these older directors in Hollywood that feel the need to bash other popular IPs when it doesn't do anything to make them look better?
Exactly.
It just makes them look like bitter old men.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, we will see. I don't know. There's a good chance that we will just have a drunken taste testing of something and just go from there, because that might be all we have left in our brains. Anyway, make sure you follow us on Twitter at @drunk_theater. If you want to talk about this further, engage us there, or, you know, like, we're more than happy. Just don't be a dick. Like, that's the only rule. You can't be a dick. If you come at us and go, you're wrong. Well, okay, fine. Why do you think we're wrong? Because you're like, okay. If you're not going to come at me with an actual sincere argument, then whatever. Anyway, go out, see a movie this weekend. Be nice to everybody that you see. It's the holidays. It's Christmas time. Santa's watching you. Don't be a dick. Anyway, that's what I have to go with from here on out. Like, but yeah, follow us there. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Never miss an episode. And that's going to do it for us. From all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.